Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes, he is available for voiceover work. Chris Rose, hard to pin down for work because the man is so busy. He was just out at the All-Star game. We got the NFL Network about to fire itself up. I think we're 45 days away from kickoff, for goodness sakes. Chris Rose, nice enough to join us. Of course, he is the host of the Chris Rose Rotation podcast. You can find him on John Boy Media and all your places where you go for good sports. Chris Rose, thank you for joining us here. Just Damon and Ray this afternoon. Wonderful to have you along, as always. How are you, pal?
Doing great, guys. Good afternoon. How are you?
We're doing very, very well, thank you. We cannot help but notice that the Giants and Dodgers just played one of the more thrilling, nail-biting four-game series between these two teams in a long time, and then a little bit of a hangover as the Giants come home and drop 2-3 to the Pirates, but reason to refocus is certainly in town because the Dodgers are in town, and then the Astros are in town, and we've seen that the first deal in the National League West has been made by the Padres, who have added all-star second baseman Adam Frazier. What do you think of the price of poker in the National League West, and who raises the price of this poker game next?
I mean, I'm calling about Scherzer. Both those teams, the Dodgers and the Giants, need him desperately. Because remember, not only does he help your rotation, he strengthens your bullpen. He still gives you a lot of length. He gives you everything you want, experience, preparation. The guy has a thirst for perfection. And I think the Nats, after they got swept by this weekend by the Orioles, I think they go, all right, even if we somehow win the National League East, they don't know how Strasburg's going to do. Corbin's been up and down. They've got a lot of question marks, in my opinion. So I would go get what I could for Max Scherzer, with a kind of a wink-wink agreement, kind of like maybe the Yankees had with Aroldis Chapman when they traded him to the Cubs in 2016, that we'd love to have you back because we feel like we're still not that far away, but it just hasn't gone right for us this year.
That said, I mean, it's easier to assemble names that people would want, but how easy do you think it is for those teams to close deals? Because even rentals now come at a higher price than they used to. And let's say, hypothetically, the Dodgers want Scherzer. I mean, we know how many prospects that's going to take, even for 2 months. Do you get the sense that this is more of a talking market than an actual market?
Well, the reason I think that is because a lot of these guys think the same exact way. And that's what it infuriates me, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not the biggest A.J. Preller guy because, personally, I have a hard time getting over the fact that he tried to dupe somebody on medical history in a deal a few years ago. Like, that was – I hated that.
What was that? I'm sorry. My mental Rolodex isn't picking up that trade. Which was that?
I'm pretty sure it was a trade with the Marlins, and it had to be nixed because – Preller reportedly had, well, not reportedly, he got suspended for it, right? Didn't he get suspended?
He tried to move damaged goods.
Yes, essentially, that's what happened. So now he's made up for it, and as long as his boss didn't see any problem with it and kept him on staff, which was pretty gutsy, he has done a remarkable job in the facelift he's given that franchise, and it's arguably the most exciting team in baseball. Not the best, but the most exciting in terms of what they put on the field and how that team packs Petco and, you know, the atmosphere and stuff like that.
By the way, Gold Star to our producer, Lucas, who looked this up, Johnny, on the spot. It was a deal with the Red Sox for Pomerantz.
Is that what it was?
Well, that's what my producer just told me, so let's pretend it is so he feels good about himself.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that didn't ring a bell in my mind. But okay, Lucas, we'll take it.
All right, Lucas, we're not gonna hold anything against you.
Well, he also
correct you if you're wrong.
But so. to make the record clear, it was the second time he'd pulled one of those. He did one before as an assistant general manager of the Rangers.
Right.
So he's a serial weasel.
Your words, not mine. Okay, I'm not putting that out there in the universe.
Coward.
With all that being said, too many of these GMs think exactly the same. So then at the end, they're like, we've got to hoard prospects, or I need to get that. Like, come on, take a chance. At the end of the day, take a chance. Because if you're Mike Rizzo in Washington, and you're going to end up at 81-81, and then Max Scherzer's a free agent, then what do? You don't have anything for him. Zero. And we never know how good these prospects are going to be, right? Jerkson Profar, who played in the Bay Area for the A's and is now down in San Diego, was the number one prospect. And for a while, you couldn't, you know, the Rangers were never going to give that guy up, ever, in a trade. Like, I remember a few years ago, like, David Price's name was out there for Jerkson. We can't give up Jerkson Profar. And look what he's turned into. He's a serviceable, at best, major leaguer. I say go for it, man. You got to give up something. Don't hoard your prospects if you're a team that's close and feels like you can compete. Because we know you could end up with egg on your face anyway. Like, baseball's a weird thing.
Yeah, you could end up with jerks and Profar.
Right. Right. You just could.
That said, do you still think this is going to be an active trade market because they've listened to you, or do you think it's going to be a very passive one because they listen to themselves?
Oh, well, they're not going to listen to me, but I hope it's active for the sake of the baseball fan. They've done a tremendous disservice to teams that are competitive. If you're competitive and you're not pulling the trigger, and by the way, I understand negotiations, like when you're running out of time, then you can drive the best bargain. The Brewers' season was changed the minute they traded for Willy Adames, like 7 weeks ago with the Rays. He came into their clubhouse. He's been a bundle of energy. He's had over a 900 OPS. If they had waited that time, their lead in the Central might be 2 games today instead of what it is. And I applauded them at the time for doing it. I like it when GMs are aggressive. I love it. It gives fan bases. It gives the guys in the clubhouse the belief that, hey, our dudes believe in us. We're not perfect, but we're damn good. And I think it really sends a message instead of tiptoeing the line of, ooh, should we do this? Ooh, I'm scared. Go do something.
I like it when you're screaming at your dog to make a trade.
My dog is in the other room, Ray. And you know what? I am in a room by myself so that my wife doesn't look at me like I got thick heads. So my dog isn't scared of me. And so my son doesn't think I'm a loser.
Of the two big deals that have happened so far, do you like the Cruz deal to Tampa better than you like the Frazier deal to San Diego?
I'm intrigued by the Frazier deal because of this. I think it puts a lot of pressure on Jace Tingler, who hasn't had a ton in his time in the dugout. I say that because the way I see it, you've got 6 guys that have to play every day. It's Cronenworth, Machado, Tatis, Grisham, who I'm a big fan of, and Frazier, and their catcher, whoever plays catcher that day. So in a non-DH league, that leaves you 4 spots with Pham, Profar, Myers, and Hosmer. Those have all been everyday players, and in some cases, very successful everyday players at this level. Doesn't mean they're all having great seasons this year, but it's how do you juggle that when you're trying to play catch up? Let's remember, they don't have a 6-game lead in the division. They don't want their season to come down to a 1-game wild card and get it shoved up there, you know what, by whatever stud pitcher they might have to face. So they're trying to win the division. To me, it's an interesting part. I love the Cruz play for Tampa Bay, and I don't think they're done yet. I think they're going to keep moving. I think they feel like they can win the East. I don't know. I mean, Tyler Glass now is one of the co-hosts in the Chris Rose rotation. He's thrown the ball a couple of times. He feels like he will be back, but he doesn't know 100%. So do they go out? Do they try and get in on the Scherzer stuff?
Chris Rose here on 95.7 The Game. By the way, nice job with John Boy. It looks like you guys had a great time out at the All-Star Game. And the All-Star Game was fun. I would have liked to have seen an opportunity to appreciate some of the majesty of the home runs in the Derby. I just think it moved a little too fast. But I understand we live in a microwave instant gratification society, and we don't even need to watch the home run land before the next pitch is thrown. So I get it. We are 45 days away from NFL football, and it looks like we're going to have ourselves Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Our long national passive-aggressive nightmare is over.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
We just hit the pause button on it. I mean, so, I watched it all day on our network today, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, well, of course he's going to show up, right? He has to show up. So now the question is, how's it play out a year from now or right after the season? We're gonna deal with that, because he's not going to get. I mean, you could ask him questions all year long, but let's say at some point they're 6-2. Is it still the biggest story of the week when Aaron Rodgers is playing a game and the Packers are playing a game? I mean, his answer is going to be like, guys, we're focused on the season. I haven't even thought about what's going to happen after this year. So there we go. Now, after the season, I guess I'll pick up the story. And if I was trying to put myself in the shoes of Packers fans, how do I feel today? I guess I'm excited, because I feel like we've got a chance to win the Super Bowl with our guy there. I think there's a ton of pressure on the Packers to be able to try and continue to smooth things over with Rodgers while at the same time evaluate Jordan Love. Because they are on the clock to do this, right?
Yeah.
They've never seen him throw a pass in a game. There was no preseason a year ago. He didn't dress at all. They've seen him in practice, but they've never seen him when the blank's hitting a fan. To me, I guess that's the most interesting part of this equation, is how they not only deal with Rodgers, but how they evaluate a guy who's never thrown a pass.
In our last 30 seconds, will we ever call you America's biggest Cleveland gladiator? What is it? Guardians, gladiators, either way. What?
Gladiator.
It's as generic as possible, so it almost was correct.
That's true. When I woke up and saw it, I did not jump right out of bed and call my crew in Cleveland and say, send me the first Guardians jersey.
Fair enough.
But it's it has grown on me a tad bit, but I don't know how you market the team, and B, I wish the logo was better.
Yeah, it looks like Thor's helmet and Paulie Walnuts' hair all at the same time. Thank you very much, Chris. You know how much we love talking to you. Appreciate your time.
You got it, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
You too. Chris Rose on 95.7 The Game, one of the nicest guys out there. Always love talking with him. And an awful lot to talk about this week. The Baynanza is upon us, everyone. It's happening right here on 95.7 The Game. It's happening. It's like Ragnarok. It's happening. It's a lot of Ragnarok and Thor's helmets lately, references on this show. We are officially underway with what? Dodgers are here tomorrow, rivalry. Then Wednesday, Niner training camp. Thursday, we're at Chase Center for the NBA draft. Then we got the baseball trade deadline. Then we got NBA free agency. It's an incredible six-day span. It's all happening right here. Baynanza, boys and girls, brought to you by Pacific Catch Sustainable Seafood, West Coast style.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
What will the Golden State Warriors do this week? That's going to be a massive question. We're going to continue to ask it right up until Thursday with pick number 6 coming off the board and the Warriors are on the clock. I don't know if we're going to get any closer to the actual answer, because if I'm Bob Myers, I'm going to want to know who is there at 7. Before we start thinking about trading this pick. A few names, I think they might be interested in just drafting themselves. A few names could put the phone in play. Interesting times. Very, very interesting times for the Golden State Warriors. We actually do have our first NBA trade of this offseason that feels like it matters. The Grizzlies finalizing a trade that's going to send Jonas Valanciunas in this year's number 17 and 51 picks to the Pelicans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and it's basically a pick swap of 10 and 40, plus next year's protected Lakers first rounder. New Orleans gets some cap room for free agents. They're going to be looking to bring back Lonzo or pursue another free agent point guard. You know, Kyle Lowry, I guess, could be on their radar. Kind of interesting, though. Kind of interesting. This is the first big, like, okay, there's names and assets on the move of this NBA offseason.
Well, there is. This is an interesting deal, but I don't know what it portends, only because this is the silly season for the NBA, because you see more wild hair rumors in this sport now that they've perfected the free agency market that the other sports would like to. I mean, at one point, baseball trade deadline was a big deal. Now it's not quite that, because the NBA moves money and people at a frantic pace. I mean, the rumor I heard today is that, you know, if Bradley Beal wants to get out of Washington, wherever he decides to go, that will induce Russell Westbrook, at which point the Lakers are very interested in Westbrook. And vice versa. If Westbrook says he wants to get out, Beal will want to get out. Now, we don't know that that's true in either event, but the conversation is so superheated that even a rumor like Beal to the Warriors, which is about a 5% or at best, you know, all of a sudden gets traction, because the Warriors have assets. And in every Warrior rumor I've heard, the assumption is that they're eager to get rid of Wiggins. And other than his salary, I don't think they're eager to get rid of him at all. I think they would like to get sort of a smaller kind of deal where maybe they part with Wiseman and one draft pick, but I don't think they want to start shoveling assets to help the Washington Wizards. You know, even if the Wizards throw in, you know, Daniel Gafford, it's still not a great trade for the Warriors, which is why I think they're going to end up standing pat or as close to pat as they can get away with, because I just don't see them going, you know what, let's blow up the lower half of the roster just for the hell of it. Because that's what it sounds like to me that they would be doing.
I think the Warriors are going to look to add a shooter, and they need rebounding, and they need depth. They don't need another score first, second, and third guard. They just don't. They don't need Bradley Beal. They don't need Dame Lillard. They don't. The last thing they need is to flip multiple assets, especially at controllable price points, for another one-way guard who's basically going to show up on a max contract. I just don't think that that's what they need. Could it be a really interesting experiment? Yeah, maybe. You know what I'm a little bit more interested in? Rebounds. That team needed a rebounder more than anything else last year. Grab some boards. Start a fast break. Get in transition. You want to go small? Grab a rebound and run.
I mean, that's kind of why, when you think about Washington, Gafford would be a really useful piece in a slightly smaller deal where, you know, I don't know how you make the numbers work because I haven't looked at all the salaries, where the Warriors could part with Wiseman, but they don't lose Wiggins, because I think Wiggins is important to them. And you can move Wiggins around and make him the sixth man that, you know, that they haven't had in the past. But only if you get Gafford back to at least give yourself a presence down low. Because the Warriors won three titles without a dominant presence in the center spot. And they could do that again. Is it a long-term deal? Probably not. But it's at least more intriguing than we'll give you the 7-14 and our big man of the future and our best living defender today except for Green. And then you give us, you know, a guy who may not stay very long and Daniel Gafford. I think there's a point at which the Warriors would have to get some draft assets back. And I don't know that Washington wants to move draft assets. They're trying to stop being a perennial eighth seed. And they're going to want to win the Beal deal. And I think the Warriors would be looking to break even on the Beal deal.
And I just don't think that there's a reality that exists for them to do that. Bradley Beal is the guy that you officially had to put one more piece in the deal to make than you're comfortable with. I don't like it. Again, I don't like any multiple asset flip for a one-note basketball player under 6'5".
I think he's more than a one-note basketball player, but he is 6'5". And it's the same reason why I keep going back and forth on the idea of drafting Damian Mitchell. Because while there are a lot of things he can do, he's 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And they're already a very small team. And I'm not saying you get some immobile lunk just because he's 6'11". But Gafford is not an immobile lunk. He was helpful for Washington last year. And say whatever else you want, you know, they were in the play-in, you know, and he was one of the reasons why. So I'm more intrigued in a smaller deal that involves Beal and Gafford and maybe more future assets going back and forth down the road than I am the our two draft picks, our starting center of the future, and our second best defender in exchange for your 6'5 shooting guard and a big guy. And I think, frankly, Washington would look at that and go, we can do better.
We're not in the hot take business, Ray. I'm not in the hot take business. You're definitely not in the hot take business. Would you like my today's hot take? May I give it to you without being ridiculed?
Let's see what it is first.
I would rather the Warriors stay in the Kelly Oubre Jr. business than swing for what you think could be a future Hall of Fame guard that guts the team in the name of a Big Four with just shooting guards.
See, that's too hot and too takey for me, because Kelly Oubre has already established.
Oh, he gone.
That he doesn't want to be here.
Yeah.
And I would rather have anybody of Bradley Beal's sort of skill set, even if it's a Bradley Beal light, who wants to be here. Because I think nothing wrecks a team with 12 players on it quicker than a guy who's screaming for minutes and becomes obnoxious about it. And I think, you know, while Kelly Oubre did not, you know, was not obnoxious about it, he made it clear he wasn't coming off the bench for Klay Thompson or anybody else. And I think, and this is not just exclusive to the Warriors, I think most teams get to a point where they go deep in the playoffs when everybody is basically on the same page. You know, there might be, you know, the odd rogue here or there. Every once in a while might ask for more time. But for the most part, everybody's got the same view. Everybody's got the same vision. And I think Kelly Oubre's vision is largely, this is my time to take care of me. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But it just doesn't fit where he's at right now.
Right. I think Kelly Oubre Jr. has got all the potential in the world to be the second best player on a team that doesn't reach the playoffs. He will be a fantastic Orlando Magic. You know what I mean? Like, he will be a decent player on a team that is going nowhere fast for the rest of his career. And he'll have a very robust bank account to look at and measure his success that way. But Kelly Oubre Jr. on his free agency, he said, quote, "I want to continue to show all the things I'm capable of and not be put in a box. I felt like the universe was trying to put me in a box last year." That's what he was talking about with Michael Scotto on Hoops Hype. Let me just say this. You wouldn't have been put in any boxes last year, Kelly, if you could put a ball through a net. And there were times where he was incapable of doing that. It took 3 months for him to hit his first three. I may be exaggerating a little, but I'm also pretty much on the money. He's tantalizing, but he's more sizzle than steak.
Well, he has to be the guy who accepts what his role is and tries to expand it within a framework. And I think he views coming off the bench as sort of less than what his destiny should be. And again, it's good to have ambitions. But if those are your ambitions, you tend to limit the number of places you can operate. And I think Golden State is one of those places where it wouldn't work.
Well, and he's at the point in his career where it should still be, yes, coach, anything to help the team. I mean, that's he needs to understand that there's more value being a part of a winner than just some individual standout. Maybe this is an extreme example here, but Ray, is there any doubt in your mind if Mike Budenholzer had walked up to, because he had determined bringing Giannis off the bench was the right way to go about winning a title? Do you think Giannis would even blink? He'd just say, yes, coach, whatever you need. Like, there is a level of humility that is not baked in to Kelly Oubre Jr. that great players should be able to access when it comes time to do whatever you need to do to put your team in a winning situation.
Well, I think, you know, your example is far-fetched, but I also don't think that Kelly Oubre is, quote, a great player. And as a result, he's a guy who needs minutes to show the zenith of whatever his skill set is. And I think that's sort of the worldview that he has. And it's the worldview that a lot of players have.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if Giannis said, I'll come off the bench, the only thing that would happen is that Mike Budenholzer would have him hospitalized. Because that's never going to be an option.
No, of course. But theoretically.
But theoretically, if you told him, I want to run a play here at the end of this game, and I need you to be a decoy because you're not going to see the ball. I think he'd do that.
Of course he would.
But I think, you know, part of that is the European tradition, which is you do what you got to do, to get out of there with a win so that everybody can go back to the locker room and smoke cigarettes together. Oubre is not of that tradition. And again, I'm not trying to diminish who he is or how he should think. His situation is different. He's got to make the name for himself that he perceives is based on him being a starter and playing 30-plus minutes every night. And the Warriors are not the team to provide that for him. But there are teams in the league that can, and it's his job to find one of them.
Problem with Kelly Oubre is that he's a better-looking guy than he is looking as a basketball player. Like, he is. He's just spectacular to look at. He's handsome, great hair, awesome tattoos. He wants to be in commercials. What, he's got his rental car commercial. Like, he's desperate to be more famous than basketball has allowed him to be.
So far.
We'll see what his
future holds. Well, I get it, though. I mean, cash is cash.
Sure.
I mean, I still remember the Ethan Strauss story about how many players in the NBA feel a greater affinity for their shoe company than they do the team they're on. And I think there's a level of player, you know, who is, you know, on teams that aren't championship contenders, and maybe in some cases not even playoff contenders, who have to view the world that way because there are so many things out of your control if you're waiting, say, for the Detroit Pistons to become a champion.
Right. Sometimes you need to take care of your own because you know you're in a dysfunctional situation.
Yeah.
We might not like the way the Warriors season broke, but no one's putting the label of dysfunctional on them. And still, Kelly Oubre's got to get away as fast as possible, apparently, because they said, would you be willing to come off the bench? And that to him just sounded like heresy. I mean, here's what the single greatest, and we edited this just for time sensitivities, but this to me is the most prolific thing an athlete's ever said in a post-game situation.
When you focus on the past, that's your ego. And when I focus on the future, it's my pride. I try to focus in the moment, in the present, and that's humility. That's being humble.
Not a lot of humility right now with Kelly Oubre, who's thinking about what he was and what he envisioned himself to be and what he is, was a handful of problems for the Warriors more than he was a handful of solutions. Everything he put on the table, he took something else off.
Yeah, no, he was not the benefit that they thought that he would be.
Not even close.
And it was to their great fortune that the guy they weren't looking at for that ended up giving it to him, that being Wiggins. And that's why the national impulse to throw Wiggins in every deal just because the money is right sort of misses what the Warriors think of Wiggins. I think they view him far more highly than the rumor mill does. And that's why I don't think a Bradley Beal deal that is that wide in scope and that includes Wiggins and Weissman and two draft picks and other stuff down the line is way out of the Warriors' league.
There's been so many rumors about, oh, man, look out. They're definitely going to take these picks and trade them. That's what's going to happen. And that has been the national talking point up until what? This Adrian Wojnarowski appearance on the Zach Lowe podcast where he basically says, short of adding Bradley Beal, Warriors are not going to be trading like drunken sailors.
Golden State's going to wait, see how it goes with Bradley Beal. But short of Bradley Beal being available, I expect Golden State to use those picks at 7 and 14 this week.
Based on what we know right now, the likeliest scenario is that Golden State makes picks 7 and 14 and rosters them onto the team.
That's what I think is going to happen. And I also think it'd be crazy to trade last year's number two because the one break the universe gave you, and you got to make the right picks once you get this break, but the one break the universe gave the Warriors is you were in 5 straight NBA finals, then injuries reduced you to nada, and you turned nada into 3 lottery picks. That is the rarest of levers ever handed to a team that still fancies itself a true contender. And to walk away from those levers in the name of, well, we got a big pull somewhere else. It's like spitting in the face of the basketball gods that were nice enough to give you 3 legit kind of premium draft picks at the end of what was nothing short of the most glorious run in your entire franchise's history.
The gods have given the Orlando Magic the 5 and 9 picks. I don't think the gods are worried about Orlando spitting in their face.
No.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but if you can replace Weissman – with somebody who's a little further along, but still does relatively the same things that he does now, like Gafford does. I mean, I wouldn't trade them straight up for each other, but as part of a bigger package, I don't think that's heresy. I think at this stage of his development, the Warriors would miss getting rid of Wiggins more than they would Weissman. Years down the road, that's probably different. But, you know, you're trading for today and you're trading for tomorrow, which is why I think ultimately, you know, Wojnarowski is right, that the Warriors are going to play this one safe, because I think in the end they don't think they have to gamble, though they wouldn't mind going to the table to see how the cards are running.
So what you just heard from Woj on the Zach Lowe podcast, Bob Myers heard what he said too, and here's what he had to say.
As of what time is it? Is it 2 o'clock today? Yeah. But here's the problem with that answer. At 2:45, that can change, or 3:15. The league has never operated closer to the deadline than it does now, and things have never happened faster. I mean, today I got some trade stuff that it's Monday, the draft's 3 days away, that had never been discussed, brand new. I can blame myself too, in the GM community, we've kind of squeezed all this action to the last 2 days. And maybe it's the concept of, I'm not gonna get a real offer unless it's close to the draft. But today, right now, yeah, we're drafting 7-14. Don't get mad if we don't in 3 days, because that means something changed. But right now, yeah, looks like we're gonna draft.
All business as usual until things become unusual and there's enough player movement in this league to what is standard operating procedure on a Monday turns into unusual by Tuesday afternoon. It's going to be fascinating to see. Bob Myers says these next 3 days, at some point, a decision obviously needs to be made here. What direction are you going in?
Eventually, you have to pin it down. And that comes down to processing everything we've seen and done and heard. I was on the phone with a college coach today, and you know, at some point you want all this information, but at some point you just want to say, okay, that's enough. Now we got to decide and get some clarity of thought. So the next 3 days will be what the previous 30 have been, which is, do we want to draft? Do we want to draft 2 picks? What if you draft a young guy at 7? Do you want to draft a young guy at 14? What do we want our team to be? All the things you write about, we're trying to figure out. And there's no perfect answer to that. There's no perfect solution. So we try to do the best we can and with what's put in front of us, whether that's the best trade, whether that's the best, just take the picks. So that's what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, there's information. They can stop looking for information, but information is still going to be forced upon them. You know, the next general manager with the next weird trade deal that he hadn't seen coming. So there's a point where, yeah, you can narrow down what you're doing, but you're still going to get more input, whether you like it or not. Because as he said, this is a different year and everything is more condensed the way the season was condensed. I mean, the last 2.5 years of basketball have been shoved into like 22 months.
Right.
So, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, yeah, he might miss the leisurely pace of this, but, you know, you operate with what you've got. And what you've got is you got 3 days. Figure it out.
Bob Myers, getting information. You talked about all points wanting new information, got advice. Well, here's what Bob said about his discussions with Steve Kerr, Draymond, and Stephen Clay about the upcoming draft.
Steve and Draymond, their time zone isn't great for this. But I got a text from Kerr like 3:20 in the morning, which is great. I don't have my phone near my bed, so I didn't get it till 6:30 or something like that. But, you know, Draymond and I spoke the other day. 1 year he actually sat in on the draft, which you can't be more involved than that. And we would be fine if he wanted to sit in on this draft. He's doing something more important, trying to win a gold medal. Steph's in a little bit of a different time zone right now. Clay was here rehabbing, but I think he's down in LA. But Clay's always been the least engaged on these things. Doesn't mean we don't love him, and I'll listen to what he has to say.
But it didn't sound like Clay has come forward with, here's my ideas, and it doesn't really sound like we got Curry or Draymond Green pounding on the door to be sitting in the war room this year. So I don't know what they've gotten official marching orders from their big three. Here's what they want done. Don't you dare work against their advice.
Well, it was never going to be that anyway. I mean, it just, you know, they listen to those guys, A, as a courtesy, and B, because they're sort of stakeholders in the next few years of this team. But I think they've probably already made what their general parameters are. they're not going in to say, I want Damian Mitchell, or, you know, I want Franz Wagner. They're not doing that.
You want Wagner.
I think he'd be a fun name just to make Kolsky pull his own head off. But other than that, you know, I don't have an opinion. I mean, just, you know, there are guys out there that are intriguing, guys that aren't. But I don't think that any of the guys on the current roster get terribly granular about who they draft unless they figure out a way to move up to number two and get Jalen Green. In which case, you know, now they might have something they'd like to contribute. But I think most of their contributions have been made by now. And I think in that way, Myers has sort of narrowed the funnel some. You just go, okay, I know what you guys want. I'll do the best I can for you. Now it's just him and Larry Harris and Kerr and his other, you know, basketball ops people.
Tim Roy, of course, one of them. You got to figure Tim Roy is going to be consulted before any pick is made. And if Bob Myers won't do that, we will. We'll do it next. The one and only Warriors Vox. Tim Roy, right around the corner here on 95.7 The Game. In the meantime, Damon Ratto and Kolsky with No Kolsky this afternoon. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy will be joining us in just a little bit here on 95.7 The Game. No Kolsky today. Damon and Ray with you. We're just slipping into our biggest segment of the afternoon. We want to remind you that you need to download the Odyssey app, and you're going to have hundreds of new music stations just available at your fingertips. Whatever you might be into, whatever kind of tone or mood you need set, they got the right channel for you. The Odyssey exclusive stations right now on the Odyssey app, brought to you in part by Macy's and by Geico. We'll let you know when Tim Roy is around the corner. In the meantime, we were just going through some sound from Warriors general manager Bob Myers, and he was asked about the urgency of winning right now. And obviously he's going to say, yeah, we want to win right now. I haven't heard this yet. Let's listen together.
We want to win. But do you draft a player that makes you better in 1 year that might not be better in the second year? And these are the things we get paid to try to get right. There's short-term decisions that are good. There's short-term decisions that are short-term decisions that you regret. And fans and ourselves will blame us, which we would deserve if we get it wrong. So that's what we're trying to figure out. This stuff isn't easy. It isn't always clear. You'd like clarity. You know, last year I've said this before, Clay being injured made it hard to see what we were. And I really hope next year, and I think we all do, let's find out what we are, whatever that is, whatever it comes out looking like. Can a rookie help us quicker, later? Rookies traditionally don't help early. I don't care who they are. But you'd like to find guys that can play a little bit with what we're limited to do in free agency, which is minimums, maybe taxpayer mid-level. You know, maybe that's a chance to grab some vets. We've done that before, but that was a team that everybody wanted to come to. Will veteran players want to come now with Clay coming back? We'll see. So we have to balance all that stuff, but we hear it all, Anthony. The idea that we don't want it to happen soon in the front office or Joe doesn't want it to happen soon isn't accurate. We all want the same thing, but we have to kind of figure out how to go about doing that.
I think one of my least favorite things is the conversation that people want to have that makes it sound like there's a real choice between the guy you're supposed to draft at 7 to help you right now and the guy that you might draft at 7 to really be a finance or a foundational cornerstone type of piece. Let me tell you how draft picks work. You never want it to be a short-term decision. Free agents are short-term decisions. draft picks are supposed to be long-term investments, especially when they're in the lottery. Okay? That's how that works. The old, yeah, I like his floor. I don't know what the ceiling is, but I can count on the floor. I hate that argument. You're going to want to draft the player that will be the best basketball player he possibly can be, as either as soon as possible or as long as it takes. But either way, he's yours. There's no such thing as a short-term draft pick. If there is, it seems like a cockeyed way to be looking at an opportunity.
If it's your third pick and it's, say, in the second round, you can get away with that.
Well, yeah, I'm not counting those.
But I'm just buttressing your point. It's not out of the question, but it's out of the question in the first half of the draft. You're not drafting a guy, well, we'll get three really good years out of him and then we'll move him. Unless it's the worst draft ever. If it's a draft in which you covet players, you're looking at each one of them as a guy you're going to have for 10 years. Or that you're going to be able to move at some point for somebody else who will give you 10 years. You're not short selling a draft pick at 7 or 14. I mean, I think maybe what people are trying to say is, well, do you want a guy who will be instant help? Well, instant help is, that's what you go to 1, 2, or 3 for. They're not at 1, 2, or 3. Whoever they get is going to have some development to do. You just live with that.
Yeah. Look at what two got him last year. As many questions as you can have after drafting a guy who was the second overall pick. But this is, look, unless if the Warriors honestly come up with some trade that includes James Wiseman right now, you better guarantee me that he's got a level of concern coming off of this knee surgery that means you just wanted to get out of his business. And once you do trade him, he better not become anything. Like, you went all the way to get this guy. You went through all the growing pains with him. But now you're willing to walk away. It better be surgery related. Not any feedback data point that you got when he was playing last year.
No, I don't. But that's isolating him. He's not going to be traded straight up for anything. He would be part, if the trade scenario that makes sense is as part of a bigger deal where the other team says, you covet this guy that much, throw him in the deal. That you could at least logically defend. There's no way that you would draft, and we'll just use the example that we had earlier today, there's no way that you go, you give me Daniel Gafford and I'll give you James Wiseman.
Right.
That's not a deal. The deal would be one that also involves, you know, Bradley Beal and maybe a Washington draft pick in 22 and, you know, all the other ramifications that can't get done unless you throw him in as part of that. But no, as a one-on-one, no, there doesn't seem to be a lot of sense to that.
What the Warriors do at 7, we will be breathlessly discussing right up until they're doing it at 7. And notice, for the sake of all of our sanity, we have not gotten too deep into what they're going to do at 14, because who knows who's even on the board at that point, who knows the way the draft has gone. Here's Bob Myers on what he's thinking about when he's thinking about 14.
We would like whoever we take to be supplemental and to be playable. We would like that. We would, if there's a player that stands out. But if there's a player that we think can be better, and you say, you know what, we could go short term and take this guy, and maybe he gives us 8 minutes a game. But if we do this guy, yeah, he may not give us those 8 minutes, but next year he could start, or he could give us 20 minutes. And some would say, well, that's your window. Well, I don't know that our window is just 1 year. I would like to think it's not. All our major players are probably going to be playing and being paid for more than 1 year. I know they're getting older. They know they're getting older, but I think they're all going to be productive next year and the year after that. I think it does those guys a disservice to say, you've got a 1 year window.
By the way, I'm so glad that he put that into one of his answers. Because what I have not understood is why it is a one-year window, as if next year is the event horizon of the Warriors' chance to go ever to a significant basketball game again. And then after that, it's all said, you know, forget it. It won't matter after that. Because I'm going to tell you how this works, is that next year will be the worst year of Klay Thompson's career. Other than the one that he just missed, obviously. But whatever you get out of Klay Thompson next year, it should be better the year after that. So it's really 2 years from now that should be your your serious window of these two draft picks get developed over the course of this season. And I don't want to hear another one of those like, well, you know, Steve didn't like the way he was rotating defensively, so we decided to send him down to the G League, or we're not going to give him any minutes. Play the frickin' players. Play them. Play the players. I don't care what inefficiency they have in any element of their game. The whole point is we need to work on all elements of their game so they really matter next year. Not this next year. The next year.
But that's what the G League is for. You can send a guy down and say, here, we're going to give you playing time that we can't give you now because our rotation is different. But we can send you down. You'll get all the playing time you want. And then when we have a need up here, you make the progress we're looking for, we'll find a way to use you. So it's not automatic. If they take an 18-year-old with the 14, you know, there's an excellent chance he'll be spending some time in the G League just to get reps.
Alpern, what's it, Sengun? Sengun? The Sengun from Sengun. Turkey. So if you're telling me that kid is sitting there at 14, and then you have like a Zaire Williamson from Stanford also sitting there, now you got a little bit of an actual, are we taking the potential that this guy grows into, or do we need a serviceable skill? Like, that guy is a rebounder. It might be all he is, but he rebounds. I would rather the Warriors, at 14, pick a dude who will rebound right now for this team over the next 3 years and figure everything else out along the way than look at all the different tools that this Zaire kid has and what could we maybe get out of them. Have fun in the toolbox of real NBA talent at 7. Come back with a definitive, this guy has this skill at 14. Even if it's a one tool, go and get that tool, especially the tool is rebounding, because that's the tool that was most missing from your toolkit last year.
Oh, no, there's a lot of different ways you can attack 14, but they're all dependent on how you attacked 7. I mean, if 7 is the futures guy for some reason, then the 14 guy, yeah, he better give you something you can use now, because that's what your strategy is. You know, on the other hand, you could get the guy at 7 who will give you 23 minutes a game. But if the guy that you're thinking about at 14, all of a sudden somebody trades up and takes him, you know, now you've got adjustments to make. And that's why the middle of the draft is often more interesting than the top of it, because that's when you have to adjust on the fly based on the fact that every other general manager has to adjust on the fly. And so that's where the ants on the dessert cart theory happens, which is everybody's running into each other, chasing a bunch of different players for a bunch of different reasons. And at some point, they will cross your path. And then you've got to make a decision other than the one you planned for. And that's why 14, I think, is in some ways going to be a more fascinating choice than 7. Because I think 7 is probably going to play itself out, because I don't know that there's going to be much movement in 1 through 5.
So I think if Jonathan Kuminga has fallen to them at 7, even though he is too raw to be the guy who comes in and absolutely helps you through the first 25 games of the year, I think you got to take him. I mean, I think you just got to look at that skill set and say, look at the potential.
Well, yeah. I mean, because he's one of those guys who is mentioned as a top 5 guy. You know, I mean, if the draft goes exactly according to Hoyle, you know, and Scotty Barnes is gone at 6, you know, however that breaks out, if Kuminga's gone, sure, you know, now you've got to do some thinking. But if Kuminga drops to 7, I mean, you just go, well, this was meant to be, and we have an idea how to use him. Don't just take him because of a name. Take him because we can get him to do X, Y, and maybe Z in the first year, and then we can broaden that after.
By the way, everyone, welcome to your 5 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.